Just as you turn to John 13, I encourage you to do that. Let me just pray for us. I'm going to use the words, just two verses of Psalm 119. Incline our hearts to your testimonies, O God, and not to selfish gain. Turn our eyes from looking at worthless things and give us life in your ways. Amen. Just so you know where we're going to finish today, two questions for you. Question number one, are your feet wet? Okay. And question number two, how wet is your towel? Okay. That's the two questions. If you go home with if you go home today with those two questions, are your feet wet and how wet's your towel? Those two questions, I think, sum up the main part of John chapter 13. This morning we're starting John chapter 13, and one chapter a week for the next few weeks we're going to look at John chapter 13 to 17. Jesus with his disciples, he's getting them ready for him dying. This is Thursday night. Tomorrow he'll be hanging on the cross. He's getting them ready for that, and he's getting them ready not just for his going and his death, but he's getting them ready for his coming back and his resurrection. But beyond that, he's getting them ready for him going into heaven. And so there's a lot to cover. And they're not ready for everything. And so he's leaving them pictures. And one of the lovely pictures is he's washing their feet. In this passage, Jesus does three things. The first thing he does, he serves. He literally strips off, gets a bowl of water and a towel, and he washes their feet, and we'll look at that in more detail. The second thing he does is he separates. There are 12 disciples in the room. One of them is not going to stay. One of them is Judas. Judas will be used to betray Jesus into the hands of the religious rulers, who will then see to his death. And so Jesus, with the 12, is separating the 11 from the 1. And there are parts of that. You see verses 18 and 19. Just have a little look there. Jesus talks about things that are true for those who follow him. Verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you. You see, he's a dividing line between the 11. For I know whom I have chosen, but the scriptures will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. In other words, a close companion is going to turn his back and betray me. He's getting them ready for that. And so he's separating the 11 from Judas. And then lastly, he's sending them. He's using the language of a teacher who's teaching his students, of a master who's giving messengers a message. You see that in verse 18. But then in verse 20, he talks about, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send, receives me. Whoever receives me, receives the one who sent me. There's a connection. The one who sent Jesus is the Father in heaven. He has sent Jesus. Jesus is now, the sent one, sending others to go in his name, so that the whole of the world will hear of Jesus. And the point he's making is, if people receive you, they receive me. If they receive me, they receive the Father. How is it that we come to a living relationship with God? Through the message of the apostles that point to Jesus, through the message of Jesus who points to the Father. That's the connection he's doing. I'm going to drop those last two and not touch them for the rest of the morning. Just going to focus on Jesus serving. Let me do it like this. The first thing is to say this, that Jesus, in serving, by washing his disciples' feet, he's teaching them three things. Firstly, there is a necessary cleansing. There is a cleansing that is needed. And that's opened up for us in the conversation that Jesus has with Simon Peter. Simon Peter is one of the disciples. He's been there from the start. And Simon is always the one, it seems, who opens his mouth first. Okay? When he asks a question with Jesus or makes a point to Jesus, generally speaking, he's the mouthpiece of the disciples. And here, Peter is probably vocalizing what all the other disciples are thinking. Have a look at verse 6. Jesus is washing his feet. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? The emphasis is you and my. Do you wash my feet? That's the idea. Now, before we go on, let's just stop and think a second. They've been with Jesus for 3 years. He has said wonderful things. He has done wonderful things. He has shown himself, according to chapters 1 through to 12 of John's Gospel, he has shown himself to be God in human form. There is no doubt in the disciples' mind that's who he is. They expect him as God in human form to be a great rescuer, a wonderful victorious saviour. They haven't quite got their heads around the fact, as we wouldn't either, that he's going to die to save and to reign. They haven't got that yet. So he's going to teach them that. How does he do that? Well, verse 2, when Judas is ready to betray, and Jesus, verse 3, knows that the Father has given all things into his hand, that he had come from God and was going back to God, that was the trigger for Jesus to strip off, get a bowl, bend his knee, and wash his disciples' feet. It's impossible for our culture to get a sense of the stooping so low that happened then. Imagine, and it is imagination, the Queen comes to your house, okay? You've cleaned for about a year, okay? In preparation. She's come, you've given her a cup of tea. And just if you've gone to one room and you come back into the kitchen, she's got the marigolds on and she's looking for the fairy liquid, okay? She's going to do the dishes. That wouldn't happen, would it? There are some jobs that are just way below some people. But that doesn't come close. Instead of doing the dishes, she's not looking for the fairy liquid, she's looking for the bleach, because she's got a toilet brush in her hand. She's going to clean the toilet. That wouldn't happen either, would it? But that gets closer to what's happening here. God is going to wash the feet of his friends. This feet washing task was not just a servant's job, it was a servant's job. The lowest of the low. Jews and Gentiles, generally speaking, would look down on whoever washed feet. Their rank was so low. And Jesus takes that role gladly and purposefully. He wants to teach them a lesson. He's teaching them a lesson about cleansing through a shocking humility. Cleansing through a shocking humility. Their feet. You know what it's like when you come back from the beach and you wash your feet. Your feet feel clean, don't they, after you've washed them. Their feet feel clean after this encounter with Jesus. But he's not bothered about clean toes. He wants to show them that there is cleansing through a shocking humility. God is washing in a shocking way the feet of his disciples. Why is he doing that? He's doing that because he's pointing to how it is that people have a part in him. The conversation with Peter carries on. Simon Peter, verse 6, it says, Lord, you wash my feet? And Jesus carries on, verse 7. What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me, or you have no part with me. You're not one with me. Unless I do this, you're not one with me. Clean feet are not that important to Jesus. What's he doing? This is Thursday night, Friday morning. He will be nailed to a cross in shocking humility. God will do more than bow to wash his friends' feet. in shocking humility, he would surrender to death. Just as Thursday shows cleansing, Friday secures cleansing. One of the wonderful pictures throughout the Old and New Testament of God dealing with people as they come to know him is a picture of cleansing, cleaning. It's a picture of forgiving. Some of you are old enough, most of you are old enough to remember blackboards, aren't you? And you go in at the start of a brand new term and the blackboard is spotless. Somebody's had the job during the summer of making this blackboard spotless. Probably more true to the point, whiteboards are used often. And this whiteboard is cleaned, absolutely spotless, pure and white. And that's a little picture of what God does to us inside. He cleanses us completely. And so the cleansing by a shocking humility on Thursday is a picture of the cleansing of forgiveness secured through shocking humility on the Friday. So when Jesus is talking about having a share in me, he's getting them ready for tomorrow. And when he says, you don't understand what I'm doing now, but later you'll understand. Many weeks later, they get it. When God's Spirit comes and helps them to see all that Jesus has done in his death and his resurrection, they understand. So John writes this book. Peter writes letters. And they show that they understand then why Jesus had to die to cleanse them, to forgive them. There's a necessary cleansing. This cleansing by foot washing is a picture of the cleansing by his death the following day. And our trusting in Jesus Christ to cleanse us is essential. There is no other way to know God the Father except through Jesus dying to cleanse. That's why I'm asking you the question, are your feet wet? In picture form, it's asking, have you been cleansed by Jesus Christ? It's a necessary cleansing. That's what he's teaching them there. Do you see that? Well, it's not just a necessary cleansing, verses 7 and 8. I think Jesus teaches Peter and those who listen into this conversation like us something else. Not just a necessary cleansing, but also there's an ongoing cleansing. I think Jesus moves on in his conversation with Simon Peter. Simon Peter thinks, well, if there's no part, if I can't have a part in you unless my feet are washed, wash the whole lot of me. Wash everything. Head, hands, the lot, go on. I want to be... But Jesus' answer teaches Peter something. And the principle of verse 10 is dead simple. If your son has had a shower in the morning and his feet are dirty by tea time, just his feet, he doesn't need another shower, does he? He just needs his feet cleaning. And Jesus is talking to Peter, saying, but if you're clean, You just need a washing top up. What's he teaching them there? I think he's teaching them a slightly different point. And that is that those who have been cleansed by the shocking humility expressed in his death, those who have been cleansed by that are clean. Forever. But there are times where cleansing is needed again. Not the whole body, not the whole thing, but just a little bit. What's he talking about? Well, John, who wrote this part of the Bible, writes another part of the Bible, a letter to believers. And this is what he says. I'll put the words on the screen. He's talking about the cleansing that comes to Christians now, those who are already clean. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's writing to Christians about the cleansing that they need to continue to have. Christians are forgiven by God eternally and forever. And that's wonderful. But the Christian experience is that we go to God as we learn more about the sins that we do and think and say, or don't do, don't think and don't say, and we ask God for forgiveness. Not the once for all cleansing forgiveness, but a forgiveness that restores us again to this loving intimacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. An ongoing cleansing. So, the question, are your feet wet, applies to two categories of people. Those who need to be cleansed by Jesus first, and secondly, it applies to Christians who ought to live with confession, that's a confession of sin, and looking to God for forgiveness daily. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us." Why is that a daily prayer? Because we need that foot washing, cleansing daily. Do you see? So, Christian, I'm going to ask you a question that I've asked at least twice before over the years. What were the last three things that you asked God, Christian, what are the last three things that you asked God to forgive you for? I'll give you a few seconds. What are the last three things you ask God to forgive you for? 2nd question. How far back do you have to go for the third one? How far back in time do you have to go? You may even be struggling to get to two. The point I'm making is this. That the Christian's experience is this, coming to God to confess our sin, to ask for that cleansing again. And if we are not coming to God for that cleansing again, Christian, probably you are not living the life that pleases the Father. A life of awareness of our need of cleansing and forgiving by God. So can I encourage you? No. Can I instruct you? That ought to be part of our lives. Remember last week, we said, those of you who were here last week, our lives are lived in increasing conformity, alignment with God. Well, how that works out is that we come to him with an increasing awareness of the things said, done and thought, or not said, done and thought, and ask him to forgive and to correct us. Ask him to bring us into the line with how he wants us to live. Do you see? So, are your feet wet? Do you know what it's like to have the cleansing from Jesus through a shocking humility of him dying on the cross for you? Lastly, Jesus is teaching, very simply, a copy me cleansing. There's a sense in which, while it is unique, the cleansing he talks of is a picture of the forgiveness and cleansing he gives from dying for us, for our sins. That is unrepeatable and unmistakable. However, he says to the disciples, have a look at verse 12. When he washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If then you're Lord and teacher, I have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Copy me. Copy me in what I've done to you. Now, where's the bowl? Where's the towel? Where's the water? Why don't we do it every day? Why don't we do it every week? Suggests he's not talking about physically washing feet. Have a look at verse 34. It wasn't read, but I think this is what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about washing feet. Many people think that Jesus is showing them that the love they must have for one another is to be expressed. At verse 34 of chapter 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I'm just going to put those words up there so you see them while I speak to you. Loved by Jesus, we are to love Jesus. Loved by Jesus, we are to love those that Jesus loves. You may be a part of this congregation, of this church. You may be a part of another church. Whichever church is your spiritual home, Christian, the simple and searching question that Christ asks of us today is, how is that love? Not do you love, because you must love, but how is that love being expressed? How is that love being... In other words, how wet's your towel? How regularly, how simply, how clearly, how consistently do you love the people you're in fellowship with? Can I suggest to you, we could spend a long time on that. Can I suggest to you, there is a long way to go. While there are many, many encouraging signs, while there has been for many, many years Christian love expressed to one another, it's a question that we've got to face regularly. In my living, in the church, how wet is my towel? How consistently, how clearly, how simply, how really do I love God's people? You might say to yourself, should have a look around. It's a big place. There's lots of people. There's no way I'm going to get to know everybody. Possibly not. But what you could do is make a start. Let me give you an example. There's a prayer diary with all the members' names on it. You could take that list. And if there are people you don't recognise the name of, you can get to know them, find out who they are. Go and have a chat with them. Ask them how you can pray for them. Build up a friendship with them. But often our love for one another is not limited by not knowing people. Often our love for one another is limited because we know people really well. We know each other too well. Maybe people you work with together on a team serving alongside, and you know them well enough for them to rub you up the wrong way. And you find yourself increasingly impatient. And you find yourself struggling. Or someone has said something. Not last week. Not last month. But 5 years ago. And you've still not got over it yet. If we get the command to love one another, many, if not all, of the difficulties that are faced in church life, pardon the pun, will be washed away. If we know what it is to grow in our love with and for one another, the bumps and bruises of church life, which are there and will always be there, will be dealt with in this wise instruction that Christ gave. All you have to do is, if you were to read some of the Gospels and find out some of the characters of the disciples, you would understand why Jesus had to command them to love one another. They were a right bunch. A real mixture of personalities, a real mixture of backgrounds. You had religious leaders and zealots, people who were one time pretty much terrorists against the authorities. He clubbed them all together. people who are from a fisherman background, rough and tough, with a tax collector. An office-based job seen as a traitor to the nation. They're all clubbed together. Jesus says, as I have loved you, love one another. Now, I've got a full page of challenges that we face, but time is gone. Can I encourage you? The depth of our love to and for each other will grow the more we see the depth of Christ's love to us. Okay? So if you're struggling to love the church, if you're struggling to love people in the church, come to the feet washing Jesus Christ. Come to the cleansing, dying Saviour. And be refreshed in His love. Ask Him, would you give me a heart like yours? Would you help me to love clearly, consistently, simply? Would you change me? So this commandment is the path I walk on. This Christ is the one I follow. How wet your towel? It could be wetter, couldn't it?